Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're back. Another Tuesday edition of the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike and Spike and Fritz. Ike, it's the Rams. How we feeling?
Brother Spike, well, I'll tell you what, feeling pretty good, Won't be an easy one Sunday, but I feel pretty good. As I look right across from me, Fritzy Baseball is back behind the glass.
Oh, there he is.
How about that?
It's good to be home.
How is your boy, Fritzy?
Oh, I got my drop board back. I know that was underutilized last week, usual.
Well, we don't want the music in the wrong spots.
We actually enjoy not hearing a bunch of drops.
Well, you enjoy not hearing a bunch of drops. Are you kidding me? Oh, no.
In the middle of the field.
Damn.
I was going to say.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
Last week.
Yeah. You got a budget with a fire off in there?
Ooh, that boy almost got a 10-incher.
Yeah, wonder why. You left the hook for a week.
Yeah. You just stinking it up in there in your little tiny room?
Right.
Yeah, nah, no Brussels home? Today. No Brussels today.
Okay.
But, I missed Najee Davenport week last week. So I had to get back on behind the board. I'm ready to go. Fired up.
All right. Here we go. Well, big show as always on a Tuesday. Tuesdays with Elliot. We always fight with him about something that comes up at 3 o'clock. Then Jordan Mailata joins us at 4, and the return of the normal top 5 at 5 happens at 5 o'clock today. And there's just like a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff. So I've been feeling this. I've mentioned it a bunch of times. We start with the Sixers, obviously. And no, I'm just kidding. I've been feeling this, for I would say a couple of months, but it was highlighted, and I think it hit its most extreme point on Sunday, which is the Eagles shift from being what is perceived as an aggressive team to being sort of a conservative team, specifically on offense. And I understand, though I don't particularly agree, I understand why everyone got frustrated with how aggressive Sirianni was getting. I think it came to a head. We had a little bit of it at the Atlanta game, then it came to a head, I think, in the Jacksonville game, and everybody was just like, enough of this. Take the points. And then we have the game on Sunday, and we win it 22-10, and a great defensive performance. But it all came together in one game for me, and I think it's going to cost them. So the first thing is how they have Hurts playing, which I think is costing them points overall, in that I feel like they have pushed him into an ultra-conservative way of playing. If you're not sure about it, don't throw it. If you're not sure about it, you don't throw it. If you're not sure about it, don't throw it. You know, I'm watching Stafford last night, and that guy will just sling it sometimes. And I think how they have Jalen playing is probably a little over-conservative. But then on Sunday. It's 4th and 4 inside the Packers 40. Inside the Packers 40. And we punt the ball. And then how many times did we have 3rd and long, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 7, and we just run the ball? We essentially, we're not punting, but we're punting on that series of downs unless we get lucky with Saquon. And I think there's going to be a game where it's the fourth quarter and the Eagles are up 4 or they're up 6, where they should have been up 13 or 17. And we're going to put ourselves in a position where one drive can beat us in a game that we have outplayed the other team. And I know the final score looked pretty, you know, pretty significant on Sunday, 22-10.
Could have easily been 29-10.
Could have, but it also was a big play away from being, you know, 17-16 Packers, you know? And I felt like after 4 turnovers, the defensive performance we had, like we had an opportunity to put our foot on their throat. And I just sort of want, I don't want to be Dan Campbell, but I think we need to regain some of that aggressiveness, some of that risk-taking. I think we're a little too risk-averse. And when you're getting into teams like we're going to play now, the Rams, and then probably the Detroit Lions, and then whoever, if we're lucky enough to play in the Super Bowl, I think we're going to need those points. And I think this ultra-conservative version of the Eagles needs to go away.
But this is what has gotten us here. This is what has gotten us here. And listen, from a long view, I understand what you're saying. I don't hear what you're saying and take it as, oh, it's another criticism of this or trying to drum up that and be negative. I don't view it as that. I view it as a legitimate concern from your viewpoint. It's just that I'm not as concerned because my confidence level in this defense and this running game and the ability to come up with those handful or so plays in the passing game that will be the difference in the game. If we were sort of less of a team in some of those other areas, then I think there's a legitimate cause to be concerned about us moving forward because you would say, you know what, this is going to call for our quarterback or our passing game to do more. We're going to need more out of our passing game. We're going to need explosive plays. And if they were clicking, if they were operating with precision, I would be okay if you wanted to deviate from what is the strength of your team, which is running the football. But because the passing game is not operating like that, it's operating effectively enough that it hasn't hurt us. I'm okay with sticking with that formula because the formula, Spike, that has gotten us to where we are hasn't been about our passing game. In any other year, I think you can make an argument or this and that, but for the 2024 Eagles and who they are, this team is about the running game, Saquon and that offensive line, and that defense. And the passing game is a complement to every other facet of this team. The passing game is a complement to our running game. Our running game is our best facet of our offense. Saquon is our best player on offense right now. No disrespect to Jalen. No disrespect to AJ, who 3 months ago I would have said AJ is the best player on the offense. Quite frankly, the best player on the team. Doesn't mean he's still not a great player on this team. Just means for the 2024 Eagles, number 26 is the guy. It's the guy. So we start with him, and we play great defense. And we got a defensive coordinator that takes calculated risk. He knows where his strengths are and where his areas are where he can be exposed at, and he stays away from those things. And that's why this defense has far exceeded anyone's expectations this year and are playing as a unit the way that they are. When that's what the identity of your team is, and every year each team has its own identity, maybe the same organization, doesn't mean that's the same identity that team has. This team, the identity is the running game, which is O-line, Saquon, and that defense, man. And as long as we're doing that, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay for the most part.
Two quick things on that.
Okay.
First of all, I think we can still be defined by all those things and still be an aggressive football team. I think we can. But the two specific things that I would point to in what you said is the trust in the defense, to me, where somebody's like, You can look at it and say, I trust my defense. That's why I'm going to punt the ball back. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to get it back anyway. I'm saying the reason I trust my defense is that fourth and four on their 39, if I don't get it, I know it's probably not going to cost me seven. Right. And that's why I'm going to go for it, because I trust that the defense, I'm not going to put them in that position.
That is the other way of looking
right?
at it, yes.
You know what I mean? And it's two sides of the same coin. You can look at it, it's really just how you look at the play, mm-hmm. because we're both saying the same thing. We're both saying we trust our defense. My thing is, I'm looking at opportunities to put this game away and put distance between us and that other team. And then we can turn into the team that drains the life out of the game with a 9-minute drive. You right. know what I mean? Right. And then the second thing is, and we'll probably never know the answer to this, is I do think there is something to the ultra-conservative way we're calling the game that maybe has ultimately hurt the pass game and prevented us from getting in a rhythm. So you mentioned, like, the pass game isn't clicking. And I agree, it's not. Like, I've complained about it over and over and over again. But when you don't do it, like, can you even get that rolling if you're telling the quarterback, don't throw it, don't throw it, don't throw it. Throw it away, throw it away, throw it away. If you don't see anything run with it. Can you even get there if you're so risk averse that you're not throwing to your superstar players?
Yeah.
And that is, I understand everything you're saying. I really understand both sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I'm looking at it is, this team is talented enough to put teams away early and not have us in a position at the end of the third quarter where we look like, you know, they've turned the ball over four times, we've dominated the entire game, and wait a minute, we're up 6 points? Wait a minute, how'd that happen? You know? And I worry against a team like the Rams or a team like the Lions that could back up, you know, bite us.
Bite you. Yeah. I get that. I think you can do it as long as everybody buys in. And what it feels like, and you got to start with the quarterback buying in. Because most quarterbacks want to throw the ball. I mean, that's what they want to do. They go out there and sling it around the field and that sort of thing. So you need to have the most important guy, who is the quarterback and will always be the quarterback. He's the most important guy. He has to have a buy-in to it. Because if he buys into it, Spike, you know what happens? He's not out there playing hero football.
Trying to prove something.
Trying to prove that this is what I can do. I can do this. I can put the team on my back. I can make this throw. When you start to do that stuff, you start to make unnecessary throws and unnecessary risk, and you put your team behind the A ball. So as long as the QB is buying into that, everybody else eventually has to buy in it. And I know the receivers, at times, they may get frustrated with it. And for the most part, I give these guys a lot of credit this year for buying into it. It couldn't have been easy for A.J., Devontae, and even Dallas when he was healthy to buy into this heavy of a run game. And we saw that little frustration mole head peek itself out every once in a while.
Sure.
It peeked itself out every once in a while. Nothing that was disruptive, but to let it be known that, hey, well, I'm over here too. Like, I want to be a part of this thing too. And I get that. And you had to address that. But listen, this is do or die time now. This is, you don't go to the dance just because you see somebody that might look a little more attractive across the floor and start thinking about things that you should.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shouldn't be thinking about. You go to the dance with the person that you came with, and that's who you dance with. That's what you dance with. This is how we chose to roll this year. This is how we're coming in here. I'm all about you tonight, baby. And I'm all about you. I don't care what she got on over there. I don't care what they look like over there. It's all about you.
215-592-9494.
Are we getting a throwback, Ike? I mean, the reminiscing Ike?
I did have a little bit of a flashback right there. I got to admit. Can't lie.
Yeah, it felt like you were
I was at the prom.
Yep.
And I was at homecoming with two dates that I had no real connection with. They weren't my girlfriends. I went to homecoming with a girl who was not my girlfriend. And we just went together as a court. Like, she was she was running for queen. I was running for king. I was the most popular guy in the school. And she felt that was an easy ride to the championship. And it turned out to be true.
Yeah, she was riding your coattails.
She was riding the coattail.
Yeah, well, that's what means
like to. Listen, she was very good looking. Don't get me wrong. I was happy to have her on my arm. She just wasn't my girlfriend. She actually had a boyfriend. And pretty much the same thing with prom.
Oh, really?
I went to prom with somebody who was not my girlfriend. My girlfriend was at another school.
Right.
Yeah, so they wanted to go.
This guy's what a big dog, man. Yep. What a big dog.
Girl in every school.
Yeah,
no,
man.
No,
girl
no.
In different area codes,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
High school, what a player.
215-610-484.
That's why I was a dad, too, at that time.
Yeah.
I became a dad, so.
All right.
It's called a big dose of D.
I wasn't that smart.
215-592-9494. Have the Eagles gotten a little too conservative? We started off with our leadoff hitter, Corey in Columbus. Corey, you're on WIP.
Hey, man, Ike, my man, Ike, an Ohio legend, boy. Hey, man, hey. One night where Ike
Reed, man. Yeah. I'm just saying, man. Listen, my wife listens to the show now, so yes, now.
Hey.
Yes.
Ike's cutting this off right now.
Yes, before school is out where she's at. Yeah. She gets in the car.
All right, I want to address the topic today, but I also want to put some that happened yesterday at the end. So,
okay.
My thing is, are the Eagles being too conservative? Like, one thing, and like, this is a radio show, so I know we got to do topics. And like, I'm like kind of with Ike. Like, I'm not like, oh, why we always got to bring this up? Why we got to start narratives? Like, it's a radio show, we got to have topics to talk about, and we address the topic. See, my thing is, the way we run our team, I look at it as like, we play the game that we're in. So it's like, I feel like if Nick Sirianni is in a situation like you just said, oh, I don't feel like that's going to work versus the Rams or the Lions. Like, if that's not going to work, we're not going to do it versus them. But, like, I feel like Nick Sirianni has gotten to a point where it's like our defense, like, we in Philadelphia for the past 15 years, we ain't had a defense that we could trust like this. Like,
no.
We trust these boys. Like, if you put them on the field, we trust them more than we trust the offense. Like, I'm not going to say, like, they
kind of, yeah.
Kind of.
Not Legion of Boom level.
Yeah.
It's not Legion of Boom level, but this team kind of reminds me. I think somebody said that yesterday. It reminds me of the Legion of Boom. Like, Russell Wilson wasn't really no big, and, like, they didn't have the wide receivers that we had on the Legion of Boom. But he really wasn't no 300, 400-yard a game guy. You know, he threw for 202,
sure.
220,
yeah.
And handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. And you let the Legion of Boom, you know, we hold dudes the 15 and under, y'all give us 17 to 20, 22, we win the game. And I feel like that's kind of the mantra we are with Vic Fangio. But, like, I also feel like if we get into a scenario like last night with the Rams, if they start shooting out, we got the boys that can say, okay, you want to get into a shootout, we can do it. I feel like Jalen Hurts is playing this year because of how last year went, how the beginning of this year started. They've coached him to say, Jalen, if it's not there, if you don't trust it, we rather you take a sack and we punt the ball and put our defense on the field than for you to force something or do something that you don't feel comfortable with doing. And I'm okay with him doing that. Now, like I said, if it costs us a game and we lose a game, we'll address that situation when it happens. But as of right now, well, I mean, we win in this way.
Corey, if it costs us a game now, there's no fixing. You know, just real quick, this is bigger than, I know I led off talking about Jalen specifically, but to me, it's bigger than that. It is about, hey, it's 4th and 4 on their 39. Like we have a big strong offensive line.
It's not.
Yeah, like to me it's Nick more than it is Jalen. It is like and I understand why, and you're right. We have won these games this way. But I think to your point where we play the game we're in, I understand, but I think there is an ethos to where we want to sort of determine the game and we want to be the team that says this game is out of reach. And I think we keep games in reach too many times because we're as conservative as we are. And it does put, and look, the defense has been great and maybe they carry us all the way, but man, the amount of pressure that it puts on the defense to almost be perfect. You know, the offense really only has to succeed 3 or 4 times a game, but the defense has to almost be perfect every time.
It's not the offense making the defense's job easier. It's the defense that is helping the offense out right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But if you think of like, and I know this was a different scenario when we played the Rams earlier in the year, mm-hmm. right? Jalen Hurts had like 15 completions, like 10 of them went to A.J. Brown for like 109 yards. And then Saquon ran for 255. You don't think Sean McVay was going to go into that game plan saying, oh, we're going to split this, but we got Puka, we got Cooper Kupp, we got Kion Williams, and what did Sirianni do? He said, okay, come on, because I got these dogs on defense. I know they're going to hold me down, and then we got this boy in the backfield, and he'll go for 255 on you. Now go ahead and stack the box if you want to. Because the quarterback, people don't like him. If you give him man-to-man on the outside, the stats say he the best in the league. So what I'm saying is we play the game we in. So go ahead and stack the box and play man-to-man on the outside and see what he do to you. Oh, y'all want to drop out and play coverage? I got this bull in the backfield that give you 255. So like I said, we'll see what happened on Sunday. But real quick to adjust what happened yesterday with the quarterback situation, I'm going to make it quick because I know I've been on the call for a minute.
Yeah. Were too long, some say. Yeah.
Yesterday, hey, don't
Jack's
don't
back.
Don't
Jack's back.
Buzz back now. Don't make us bring Buzz back. Look, when we was talking about, like, people always say, oh, like, you were talking about Jalen defenders and people always coming to Jalen's defense. I think it really is because, like, if we sit up here and we say, like, oh, if Josh Allen played in Philly, he'd do this with this team. If Patrick Mahomes, like, everybody got a wife. We just started a conversation with it. Val, Jill, Renee, everybody. But Renee is good for Ike. That's his wife. Yeah. You know, Val's good for you. That's your wife. Like, in Philadelphia, it's hard to play. Josh Allen played in Wyoming, and then he went to the Bills where they was garbage. If Josh Allen was having them turnovers and stuff in Buffalo like he was doing last year and the year before that, and he got to deal with the afternoon show, killing him all today, we don't know if Josh Allen going to show up like that.
That's a good point.
Hey, Lamar Jackson, he quit on his team. He was hurt and said, I'm not playing. I don't want to play.
That would not have fly. That would not fly here.
How would Joe DeCamera deal with that? What we're saying is we got a quarterback that they sit up here and kill, and he ain't going to say nothing. He's going to take it, and he's going to go out there and play. And like Joe Burrow, he's throwing for 4,000 yards. He's throwing for 4,000 yards in Philadelphia. I know a guy that threw for 4,000 yards that had no receivers, and they told me that boy was garbage. He barely made the playoffs. What I'm saying is we just want the guy we have to be celebrated because we win football games with him.
Yeah,
but that's all it is.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's just like –
good job, Corey.
Yeah, good job, Corey.
Way to fight for Jordan.
Yeah, brought back Carson Wentz.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's hard not to reminisce about that guy.
It's so easy. It's for some of us, it's so easy not to reminisce about Carson Wentz. Man, we've had some times over the last 15 years with quarterbacks. It is. I give Corey.
He's right about Jalen being able to play here. That every quarterback can play here, man.
I 100% agree. He was absolutely right there. Now we've had. Now maybe it is. I don't know. I'm just thinking about the quarterbacks that were here. You know, Donovan had his issues with everyone here, but he did survive a decade pretty successfully as
well.
Well,
that's why some of us like me will show him the amount of respect he deserves.
Right, because
he's a true franchise quarterback.
Right. There's all different ways to handle how it is here, you know? And I give Corey's right. I give Jalen credit for not overreacting to it, not lashing out. And there are other players on the team who have.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in his personality. And I think his ability to tune those things out, for whatever reason that he's able to do it, is good and is successful. And I it's hard doing this every day for him, you know, to go through that. I 100% agree with that.
And that's why when we did our athletes ranking, I think I had Bryce as number one. I had Jalen as number two.
Right. Yep.
But one of the reasons why I had Jalen as the number two athlete in town, because he's under the most scrutiny. Now, I'll give Bryce a lot of credit as well for being able to handle it, but his sport, to no fault of his own, it intertwines with football. So in the offseason, when discussing what happened during the season, Bryce never really has to endure.
And nobody's criticizing him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But part of it is because we moved straight
to football.
Right,
he has that shield for him. Now, he'll get it during the season, right, when things happen.
But there's a game every day, so it goes away.
Exactly, goes away. He doesn't get the entire offseason to be ripped like an Embiid does, like Jalen will at the end of the season.
Right. There is something about the setup of football in that they play one game, and then we talk about that one game for seven consecutive days before there's another game.
Yes.
All right. Have the Eagles gotten too conservative? 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Ike, I don't know if you heard it. Shady had a little controversial thing to say.
Every week, man.
You know, he's in the building. That's what he says. You know, he knows people in the building. Still connected.
Every week, Shady has something, man.
You know, if he said as many things as he said, I might not let him in the building so much anymore. You know, if I were, no, I'm just saying, you know, but Shady had a little thing controversial to say about the quarterback, and we will have that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.